Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to you. Rach is out today, has a doctor's appointment. She'll be back tomorrow, and then she's leaving again. I don't know where she gets this sort of power, but she's leaving again for a week, next week, something called a vacation, and I'm going to see if I can do away with those, because when Rachel's gone, everything falls apart, and I fall apart, and it all comes down to Kevin, and he never rises to the occasion.
Never.
That's the way it goes. Our friend Felina is back, and she brought us Tina Bryan, Lion's Choice Director of Marketing. That sounds like a really good job.
I have an awesome job.
I'm not going to lie to you. That sounds pretty good.
Awesome job. Yeah. Yes, yes. Be jealous.
Yes,
be
I jealous. Am very jealous.
Yes, yes.
What does a director of marketing do?
You know, it's everything you would think I would do. I come visit you, right? I think of all of these ideas for our brand. I talk to our customers. You know, I'm in the stores a lot, throwing parties, that sort of thing. So all fun.
And guys, Tina reminded me that we have a history together. And it's based on Krispy Kreme.
Yes.
Yeah.
Long time ago. We worked together when we brought Krispy Kreme to the St. Louis.
So my son is 31. My daughter's 21. And they laugh at me a lot. And they were talking about like maybe three, because I'm not a yelly dad. I'm pretty nice. And they're like, what's the maddest you've ever seen your dad? And my son Nick goes, oh, I know what it was. And so we're talking about when I did diets and I used to be a larger man. And every Sunday, I would blow it out because Monday was diet day. Okay. Right? We've all been there.
Right. So Sunday was like your cheat day?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Nick was about 5. We went to Krispy Kreme, hot and now, and got a dozen donuts, drove them back. It was kind of raining and our driveway was kind of steep. And poor little Nick, kindergarten age, slipped. And all the donuts went rolling down this wet driveway.
Ooh, I wouldn't want to be Nick.
And I just channeled my dad. It was just GD this and MF that. And
I need that sugar.
Yes, that's the meanest I ever was over Krispy Kreme. So
oh, that's funny. Well, I brought you sugar today. I brought you our orange cream shake. So if you're in the mood for something sweet, like a donut, then I've got you guys hooked up today.
So remind us, take us back. Lion's Choice. Tell us all about it.
Okay, so next year we're going to celebrate 60 years in St. Louis, if you can believe that. Wow. And so we have 24 locations, and we're known for that great roast beef sandwich, which we've not changed since the day we started 60 years ago. So we cook it the same, we slice it the same, we season it the same, put the bun in the toaster the same, and then of course our French fries are well known as, you know, too. That sauce bar, you know, we have all the sauces, you know, horseradish of course is what a lot of people put on their roast beef, but we have Chipotle ranch, we have honey mustard, which is my favorite for my turkey sandwich, because what a lot of people don't realize is that while we're known for roast beef, we have a lot of great sandwiches outside of roast beef. Like if you've ever tried our turkey, I don't know, or our chicken sandwich. We were talking about baked potatoes. You know, you don't find many places with a drive-through that offer baked potatoes or even veggie sticks, those types of healthy offerings. But we're always trying to look for new things. So I'll give you all a little hint that we're coming out with a new sandwich in September. It's going to be our take on the Philly cheesesteak sandwich.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble.
Yeah. You're in trouble. It's very good. Felina's tried it, so it's won her approval, too. So
very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So we keep with the heritage, with what we're known for, but always try to mix in new, interesting things for folks to come in and try.
You know what I love about that is you and I are the generation. I'm older than you, but I remember the ding-dongs and the individual aluminum foil.
Yes.
And now they suck, right? Like everything just kind of, like we all decided in 1998, we're like, let's make everything terrible.
Yes, yes. Let's change the recipe.
And I love
that
you guys keep doing it the same way.
We do. We do. And so our training program, you know, people understand how precious that is. You know, we've had opportunities to change, for instance, the cut of meat or the potatoes that we use. We don't. There's no cost savings worth that quality that you know of Lion's Choice.
And no iceberg lettuce on those things.
Yes. Yes, we do have salads, but you do not have any iceberg lettuce today.
Andrew, where's the choice of Lion's in your pantheon?
Very high. Very high. I love Lion's Choice. I eat there every chance I get.
As he's eating. I kind of screwed him on that one.
Well. Proves the point, though.
I love the fries. Can't stay away from the fries.
This is in your arsenal?
Yeah, top of the list. And not being from St. Louis, when I first moved here, I didn't know anything about it.
Right.
Had no idea. And I tried it and I'm like, why does this not exist everywhere?
Yes, that's
why
what
is it not everywhere that I've ever lived before? It's the best. I mean, it is. I'm trying not to, I'm not trying to suck up, and I'm not trying to do this like it's a live
cry.
I've never had like a roast beef sandwich just like that better.
Right.
Like just straight up, you know, regular old restaurant. Never. Not once.
Here's what's going on. He thinks you guys are going to do live endorsements with me, and he is trying to steal it.
Oh, no. No.
First of all, that's what he's doing.
First of all, as if it were possible.
Oh, goodness.
Take a look at the list every day. I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, goodness. Well, I tell you, we get some really cute social media stories of people doing exactly what you did that are in from out of town or just moved here, or somebody told me I need to try this.
That's what it was. Everybody was like, you got to go there. Yeah. Got to go there. Don't go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But you're not St. Louis only.
We are St. Louis only.
See?
Yes. 24 locations here in St. Louis. Yes.
I think you guys are missing out on something.
I know.
Let's expand.
I know.
I'll take you to South Roxanne, Illinois.
Okay. That's certainly an expansion, isn't it?
They spell beef with an A over there. So it's a little.
Yeah, boy. Talk about far away.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah. You will sell upwards of 10 sandwiches a day.
That's just Andrew. He lives over there.
Yeah.
So, same family?
The owner, Marv Gibbs, is no longer in the day-to-day, but mm-hmm. I talked to Marv quite a bit. You know, he's in his 90s now, a great guy.
Let's get Marv's butt in here.
Yeah, so he's
like
he's a wonderful guy to talk to. So ownership has changed over the years, but the original ownership is still very much part of our team and our, you know, just kind of resource set.
How many locations here?
24. And so we go all the way out to Sullivan. So a lot of folks on their way to the lake or something will stop at Sullivan. We're in Washington as well. We go up to Troy, and then over on the Illinois side, Edwardsville and O'Fallon. And then within St. Louis proper, you know, Fenton, Arnold, South County, St. Pete, you know, Winsville, you know, the city on Chippewa, you know, we're everywhere. Hanley, that's where your sandwiches came from today, was our Hanley Road store. So
what is the cut of meat that it is?
It's a top round.
Okay.
It's a top round that we roast for hours every day. And then we slice it super thin. We season it with that Lion's Choice seasoning. And then we also put this really good butter on the bun. So that kind of, all of that together, the sesame seeds on the bun, all of that together just make that delicious.
That's cheating right there.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what that is.
Sorry, just keep doing it.
That is cheating.
Yeah, exactly. But we have premium sandwiches, what we call premium sandwiches, which kind of like this Philly cheesesteak I was telling you about. We've introduced, I guess, about 4 new sandwiches over the past couple of years, like the Remix, which is a take on our original roast beef, but it was an employee hack. We noticed our employees were putting the roast beef on our Texas toast.
Oh,
and so, we just kind of we call it Remix for that reason. We have an El Cubano that one of our huge Lion's Choice fan won a contest, and that was his sandwich that he made was
pretty
the
good.
El Cubano. Yeah. So again, just always, we've always got that original, but if you want to try something new, we've got it too.
And you guys aren't at the stadium, right?
Not anymore. We were at Enterprise Center, but no longer are we there. But there's always a possibility.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, because, you know, the Blues do a really good job. I think of those, you know, St. Louis-based, you know, brands in their food offerings. And so it would make sense if we were there.
We should do like a DGS special.
And then as far as the Cardinals, I don't think we've ever had a presence at the Cardinals unless it was a long time ago, way before me.
Kevin knows Cardinals.
Yeah.
He can work this out for
you. Call some people.
Yeah.
Call people. Who should we text?
Yeah. Let's do
build
that.
Build with the second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's lovely to see you again.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys asking me to come in, and you guys are always so great to us and good fans of the brand.
Yeah.
I brought you some coupons so you can come see us again.
And love it.
Yeah. And hopefully everybody out there in Radio Land will come see us as well.
Yeah. People just need reminded.
Yeah.
They just need reminded, you know, that
exactly.
It exists. And I don't think many people know that it's local and it's ours.
A lot of people don't.
That's
You're
even
right.
Cooler.
It's ours. I like how you say that. It's ours. And there's so many places to choose from now. You know, we just so appreciate people still supporting us. You know, the 60-year-old Lions, the 60-year-old St. Louis brand. You know, our customers mean a whole lot to us.
Here you go. I got a brand new catchphrase for you.
What's that?
Keep this for free. As St. Louis is the arch, F Kansas.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that on my crew t-shirts.
I shouldn't be giving this stuff away for free.
I can see that on my crew t-shirts. Can't you? Okay, I'll give you credit for that.
I like it. Thank you. Thank you, Felina. We appreciate it. Quick break, right back. DGS. Welcome back, DGS. Just had the fastest bite of a Lion's Choice of all time. So good. You a horsey sauce guy?
No.
Nope.
More of an au jus guy when I'm at the restaurant.
Fancy pants.
Yeah, it's the best.
All you Michigan boys, kind of dandies, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's exactly what we're known for in Detroit, for being dandies.
I think it's au jus. I think that's how you pronounce it. I don't know what you were saying.
Sure, buddy.
So, Andrew, you had an especially fulfilling weekend?
Yeah, I did all kinds of fun stuff this weekend. I went and I went to Springfield, and sorry, I got to move something in the wall here. Okay. I went to Springfield.
As in Lincoln?
Mm-hmm. My intention was first to do the Lincoln stuff, but we ended up going to a little zoo that they have there instead, because it was half the price. And the zoo was pretty cool.
They charge you for Lincoln?
$15 a person. That corpse is not going to feed itself, I guess.
Oh, jeez.
But we also went to the Illinois State Museum, which is free. And the Illinois State Museum is great. Way more impressive than I was kind of expecting, which is not to
I saw that as a kid.
Not to diss the State Museum, but it just looked very small and like there wasn't a lot. But I thought it'd be a fun place to be air conditioned. the main reason we went up there, we went to Portillo's. Which that's like the just about the only one that you can get south of Chicago. Uh-huh. I think there's a couple in Indianapolis. And man, that is a delicious place to eat.
Yeah, Portillo's is pretty great.
Portillo's is awesome.
I'm not sure it's worth like a 2-hour road trip though.
Well, we were wanting something to do.
Take the train.
Oh, I didn't even
take the train. Get some Portillo's.
I did not even think about that.
Did you get the cake shake?
I didn't get the cake shake. I got the cake slice.
Okay, that's pretty good too.
Yeah. Sliced it. We got like $50 worth of food at Portillo's.
It's pretty great.
So a little excessive.
I tell this story every time Lincoln's dead body comes up. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that it's true, but my friend wasn't nearly the liar I am, so maybe he didn't sweeten it too much. But my friend lived in Springfield, and his job during the summer as a teenager was to work at the Lincoln tomb. And I know they stole Abe a couple times. And so my understanding is underneath the big, beautiful tombstone up top, which I was terrified of as a kid because I thought he was like literally in it. Lincoln's casket is suspended by iron bars and then encased in concrete. And my friend Bob and his friends used to sit on top of Lincoln and eat lunch. Which they probably don't anymore because, you know, in like 1988, you could sit on an ex-president's corpse.
Yeah.
But today they're probably like, boys,
don't do that.
We have tables for that, but pretty neat.
Yeah. I'm picturing like the guys, the building, the Empire State Building.
Right.
You know, the famous pictures of the guys on the girder.
Yeah.
With their feet dangling, eating out of their lunchbox.
Exactly. Kev, you have a weaving, if you will, of Odysseus and today's world.
Oh,
well, yeah. So we touched it like we just like scraped it at the beginning. But one of the interesting things to me is that this story is how many thousands of years old?
Many.
A million.
And basically human beings still do the same dumb crap. They still let their ego get in the way of everything. They're still greedy. They still we all still allow ourselves to forget that other people are just like us. And we screw over other people, or we'll do, you know, like, and I mentioned this earlier, like, all that matters to humans, and I guess this clearly hasn't changed over the millennia. All that matters is we got to win, right? Like, honor doesn't matter. Being good to other people doesn't matter. It's almost like you're a loser until you screw everything up and realize, oh, man, I probably should treat other people better. And yet today, there's just like almost no awareness of that, which is odd considering that these are lessons being taught from thousands of years ago. And I'm sure it's a thing where it's like cycled, right? Where people go through periods, humans go through a period of time where they do actually try to treat each other better and try to. But in the end, something's wrong with us.
Yeah.
Where in the end, we cannot get past this base need to just win. Whether it's a war or an argument or a political race or the race to the bottom line of making a lot of money, whatever it happens to be, we are such a weird species that we will so easily just step on each other and not care about it until it affects us in some way. Right? Until we have to pay a price, we don't care, which is such an odd thing, isn't it? Knowing in advance, we all know that nobody wants to be treated terribly. Nobody wants to be taken advantage of. Nobody wants to be dominated by a larger power or whatever. But when you're in the position of the power, you just don't even think about it, which is a bizarre thing to me. Even though it's been the primary lesson from almost every moral standard in the history of humankind.
Yeah.
Right? It's, you know, in the movie, this is not a, it's not a spoiler in any way because it's such an old story, but it, you know, Zeus's law is referred to a lot. And Zeus's law is essentially the golden rule. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. So these things are, these ideas are millennia old and nobody cares. We just don't learn it. We just keep making the same things. I was going to say mistakes. I don't even know if they're always mistakes. Most of the time they're intentional because we just don't care if it doesn't come back on us, which I thought was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm sitting there watching it. At the end of it, I was like, man, yeah, it's an interesting story. It's got a lesson. I mean, obviously, you know, Homer wrote it to entertain, but also because it teaches a lesson. And you get through the lesson and you're like, why does nobody listen to that lesson?
Yeah, my mom and dad famously didn't tell me anything. And I think I share that with a lot of people from my generation. You know, like our television was very Ward Cleaver.
Right.
Or very Mr. Brady, like, caveat emptor, Greg. My mom and dad were like, you're going to be fine. And and I wasn't, and I kept making mistakes and getting beat for it, and I had to take several beatings for the same kind of things over and over again. So I was a very slow learner. But looking back, I can't blame my mom and dad, because had they told me, like, now, son, you should probably save, I'd have been like, yeah, whatever, you know.
Right, but it's... If you go back far enough, you know, we love human history and the development of our species and all that. To get to the point where we could be a civilization, we had to work together. Yeah, we would fight with other groups for resources or whatever, but at the time, those things would be more necessary. It's so unnecessary now. And it's really been unnecessary for a lot of centuries.
Mm-hmm.
But because some people cannot have enough, they just can't get enough. There just isn't enough in the world for them. This dynamic continues to exist, and we never figure it out, which may just be a fatal flaw in the way our brains are wired.
Yeah, could be. When we come back, Bernie Miklas is going to join us. Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. Rach is out today, so we're talking butts and boobies and like...
Ah!
Whoa!
Anything we want to...
Whoa.
No manner of such.
Bernie's like, nobody prepared me for this.
Yeah, did I come to the wrong place? Where am I at?
You are in the right place, my brother. You're in the right place.
I'm actually excited now. What's up?
Welcome to the Boys Club.
Bern, we may not even get to sports today because I understand. I understand you did an article about how we infantilize food and how grown people talk about glizzies and stuff. But this is going to be like point counterpoint. I think you may have met your match because Andrew Stoll's here. We just had Lion's Choice. The people from Lion's Choice were kind enough to bring it in for us. And you call the sandwiches beefy weefies?
Well, there's roast beefy weefies. That's one of them. And then, of course, there's roasty toasty beefers.
This is not real. You're making these things up.
I have called them all of those things within the past 3 months.
Well, you know, I was writing that, you know, lobbing these little grenades for effect, but
yeah.
It's true. It's like what I just don't understand where this became a thing where you have grown ass adults talking like toddlers when it comes to food.
You don't enjoy some chicky teas?
I don't get it, man. I mean, it's like, you know, where, mommy, where are my nuggies?
I just got to say, for the record, I'm on Team Bernie for this one. I completely agree. I don't get it at all.
That is how I ask my wife what we're having for dinner.
Yeah, mommy, can we have tendies tonight? You know, and the person asking the question is, like 20, 25 years old or whatever.
Or 36.
Or 36. Yeah, it's okay to be 36. What about sodies or sody pops? How's that?
Yeah,
how's that
same thing. You know, it's basically turning something into a two syllable word that, in a way that tries to make it really cute, like adorable.
It is adorable. Look, it is adorable.
Yeah, look at me. Can I have a Sammy? Hey, mommy, what kind of Sandoz do they have there?
What I'm learning is that my friend Bernie, much like my friend Kevin, has no sense of wonder and whimsy in those
yeah,
worlds.
Yeah, we're not the children.
We're not children anymore.
He sits down the restaurant and he says, I would like a sandwich, please.
No. I'm not quite
present
that. I'm not
me
a stiff.
With the chicken tenders.
So wait a minute. You go to a restaurant and you order that? You're like, yeah, I'll take the tendies with a side of taters.
Well, first of all, most of the stupid restaurants you go to now call them tendies on the menu.
What?
Yeah, that's true, man. Oh. Yeah, in your defense. So you're covered there. Yeah. You're covered there.
So I went to a restaurant.
I love this stuff. This is funny.
I'm fine saying this because I don't think this restaurant is open anymore. But this restaurant that I went to once had a burger on the menu that was called the Curd Burglar. And
what?
It had cheese curds on it. And that was what it was called on the menu. And so I didn't want to say that. So when
you
she comes
say
over,
that, but you'll be like, ooh, give me some tendies.
I said, I need a burgy burg.
What?
I need a burgie with an eggy on it.
Andrew, you're funny, man.
So I was like, so I'm looking at your burgies here. And I'm seeing this one, and this is the one I want. And she was like, are you talking about the Curd Burglar? And I was like, yes, that one. And she goes, which one? And I was like, that one that's there on the menu. The Curd, you're ordering the Curd Burglar. She's announcing this to the restaurant.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was
that
one. That's the one I want. I want the Curd Burglar.
If they ever catch up with me and I go to prison, that's my nickname.
The Curd Burglar.
It was not worth the stress of ordering.
Either
it.
No one's gonna ever touch me, or they're gonna touch me all the time. Like, you know, you shoot your shot.
Absolutely.
You get what you get. You know, right.
You're either so crazy that they're like, stay away from that guy, or the other.
So it was just
what's let me throw this in here. This is it's related because it's food. Mm. Like what? Everybody there. What's your policy on? You know, it's not enough. This is another food trend I can't stand, frankly. I'm just telling you. Mm-hmm. It's not enough to just like, if you go someplace, you know, and there's a bunch of places in town. It's like, oh man, I'm in the mood for a great burger tonight. Let me go get a great burger. But what about these places where, you know, a burger's not enough? You know, it's like, oh, you know, have this one, the big buckaroo. It's got pulled pork on top of the burger, or it's got,
I feel you,
or it's like meet me in Texas burger. Well, what's that? Oh, it's got brisket on top of it. I don't need all that. I'm here to have a burger. Why you got to pile other crap on top of the burger?
Bernie's got some great ideas about burgers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are good. Those are good ideas. You should open a restaurant.
I got to say,
Bernie's no fun food.
I made the mistake.
No, man.
I made the mistake.
I had a bad experience with pulled pork and a burger.
I made the mistake of once ordering the Uncle McTouchy burger, and that was just, it just didn't end well at all.
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't.
And it's $27?
You guys love piling stuff on a burger.
So
I do.
I'm not other than bacon. I'm not about adding like other meats to a burger, like an egg and a bacon. Well, I'll do that, but that's different.
Yeah. Yeah, here's what I'll say. I'm going to have a little self-awareness here, and I'm going to say that I think I do, but then when I actually do it, I'm almost never
a little too
happy.
Much.
There's a place that I'll order from sometimes. And they have great burgers. They have great food there, but They will let you like put basically as much as you want on the burger for no extra charge.
So good.
And so I'll be like Euro meat and pulled pork and an egg and three kinds of cheese. And then when it's just too much. It's just too much.
You ever notice everyone says the word burger weird?
Burger.
Yeah, either hit it too hard.
You're all saying burger weird. It.
I'm
gonna be I'm gonna be self-conscious about that now. I never thought about that, so it'll be in my head now.
Let's talk some Cardinals. Are you able to get past the frustration of the weekend and move on?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I was irritated with the Saturday game because a guy showed up and I said in my video at STL Sports Central making fun of it, like, early in that game, they went up there swing. You know, can you give it a rest? Like, do you guys have a tee time at like 6:30 p.m. at one of those good Phoenix area, country clubs? And then yesterday was just a debacle. It happens. But, you know, it's okay to say it was pretty disappointing, if not annoying as could be, because you're in a fight. Now six teams piled up in the wild card race, for the third wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't give away games when you have a 7-0 lead. And, you know, so the thing of it is, the more I think about it, is, listen, in all candor, I don't think the Cardinals are good. I think they're capable of doing good things, but they're very vulnerable. They have a lot of flaws.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cardinals are no different than the other five teams that are competing for that third wild card spot. It's almost like a survivor contest. Sometimes I think it's going to be decided by, who sucks the less or something like that, you know? You know what I mean? And yeah. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I don't know that it's going to, like, I don't know that quality is going to win this. It might be just like, okay, well, we're good. We're not as bad as those other guys, you know? And I'm overstating it, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm legit concerned about Dustin May at this point. Ever since the complete game, because, you know, you threw six shutout innings before that, and then the complete game shutout, one hitter, fantastic. Since then, the ERA is almost 10, and I know he got hit by a line drive in one of those games that was part of what got him out early, but he was getting crushed before that even happened. And I think it's a legit concern for obvious reasons, because one, if you were still thinking about trading him, it's not going to help that he's getting rocked leading up to the deadline. But two, he, for a long time, Byrne, was one of the most stable guy that you ran out there week in and week out.
Yeah, I don't understand it because, you know, I think the Ollie haters would just say, well, you know, he left him in for that game and he shouldn't have. And then again, if Ollie or any other manager would have pulled the guy from, you know, with a one hit shutout gone, it's like, can you believe he pulled him? What's wrong with these managers? You know, so he's going to get killed either way. But, I just, they took plenty of precautions after that in terms of giving him extra rest. So I really don't understand what the issue is. But, yeah, he's all over the map. I mean, it just there's just no control. You know, there's no location. It's really unfortunate.
I would also submit, too, that he only threw 101 pitches. I mean, he's a grown man. He can handle 101 pitches every once. It's not like they ran him out there for 128 pitches and you went overboard. I mean, high school kids throw 100 pitches on a regular basis, and they shouldn't, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not like, and he's only gone over 100 twice all year. So again, it's not like they've abused him, run him into the ground or anything. I don't think the fatigue thing is into it at all. I think it's more of a mechanical thing that leads to his fastball spraying. And when he gets behind with the fastball, he doesn't have enough swing and miss outside of that.
Well, that's all. You're right. I mean, I don't have any opinion on that other than to say you know your stuff when it comes to that. But, you know, the trade deadline's 2 weeks away. And so, like, at this point, what is his value?
Hard to tell, right? I mean, is it going to be like, this is the funny thing, because I hear that you and I are going to agree on this, I think, Byrne. I hear this all the time from people that are talking trades. It's like, If he can get hot right before the deadline, your value may go up. I don't think so. I think teams are seeing what they're seeing. If they like him now, they'll like him in 2 weeks. But if they're worried now, they're going to be worried even if he has two good starts.
Yeah, and if they think he'd be worth a flyer, the fact that he would pitch well for a couple starts, to your point, it's not like all of a sudden they're going to, like, you know, just increase this offer to Heim Bloom by some insane amount. That's not going to happen.
Right.
So I don't know. The Cardinals deadline might be a dud in a way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got Jojo Romero, and, you know, hopefully he's going to be back soon. But there's a guy who had a 0.90 ERA in his previous 10 appearances. Then he had to have his appendix removed. And even though he'll be back, you know, I wonder whether some general managers out there are going to be just having doubts about his viability. Is he going to be strong enough? Is he going to be durable enough? You know, so I'm not saying his value is like shot or anything, but I do worry that Jojo Romero's value is down. How much, I don't know.
I mean, again, in his case, it's just how healthy is going to be when you get another week and a half there after coming off of an appendectomy. I mean, it's, you know, it's definitely something you'll heal from, but any delay, any potential concern is going to impact the other team's confidence in that player's ability to help them achieve what they're trying to do, which is make a run in the playoffs. Not just get there, but like make a run in the playoffs.
It's Lars Nootbaar, I still think is the best trade chip. He's had a quiet July though.
Yeah, he has.
I don't think that's going to affect too much because everybody knows the Statcast stuff is there.
Right.
I mean, his hitting fundamentals are there, but I think you have to, I think you have to do it. I really do think you have to do it. One of the reasons is, guys, you look at, and I'm not saying, you trade him and then you bring up Baez. I'm not connecting the dots that directly. Baez, by the way, is hitting 113 since June the 25th, by the way.
Yeah.
113.
It's anyway. Interesting because if you're on social media, and it's a thing, I mean, it's a fair thing, but every time he homers, and he hit a 470-foot homer this weekend, so that's going to get attention. Right. But like as Bernie pointed out, he's hitting under 200 for about 3 weeks now. And, you know, swinging and missing in the zone and things like that. Like, it's more than just the highlight that you'll catch on Twitter.
I mean, you know, a 113 batting average ought to, you know, raise some eyebrows before people want to go on, you know, X or Threads or wherever and make this big proclamation. It's time to bring him up right now. You know, not even looking at, like, what he's been doing, you know? Right. So, but my point about trading Nootbaar, it isn't that, I love Nootbaar. And listen, I think he's good for the club and all that other stuff. But where are the Cardinals starting to get some things going in terms of like position players? They've got some outfielders on the way. They keep moving outfielders up in the farm system. Chase Davis is at Triple A now. The kid from Taiwan is starting to hit home runs all over the place. They've moved him up all the way to
Springfield, I think. Yeah,
Springfield. And all of a sudden, like all he does is walk and hit bombs, you know. So if you're not going to sign, you're not going to re-sign, give Lars Nootbaar an extension after 2027, and I don't think they will because they have all these outfielders on the way. I just don't understand what the point would be to keep him, where his value is probably going to be higher now than it would be if you wait till the offseason. I'm being pragmatic.
Guys can tune in later today, 5 p.m. for Redbird Rush Hour for more of this discussion. DGS, just a couple minutes left here. Let's mop up a little bit on the Cardinal stuff, Wheels. So from like a 10,000-foot view, Thanksgiving, if you look back at the trade deadline, what are the most important – you don't have to mention anyone's name. What are the most important things you want to see the Cardinals accomplish?
That's a good question. I mean, because – I don't know that they have to do anything. Like, they've really done the big part already of rebuilding the farm system. All the trades last offseason have kind of stocked the upper levels. Their drafts are starting to fill in. I don't think the idea now is as much about adding bulk as it is about finding quality. So where can we find a fit to, like, so if we're going to trade Lars Nootbaar, can we get a third baseman in that deal? Because we don't have a third baseman around, you know, or at least nobody that's presently looking like they're the long-term answer. Could we add a bullpen arm that can help things out? You know, I mean, like, I don't think it's as much about just simple talent acquisition as it was this past offseason because we're seeing so much. Right? I mean, we've seen, you know, Walker take the step and Weatherholt do what he's doing. Bernie mentioned a bunch of the guys. You know, Baez has been a big story all year. I don't know if you saw it this weekend, but one of the guys they got in the Sonny Gray trade, a guy named Brandon Clark, was pitching this weekend. Yeah. He just got back from an aneurysm in his arm. He's throwing 103. You know how many left-handers in baseball have ever thrown 103 in a major league game? One. Aroldis Chapman is the only one.
Wow.
So it's a rare thing. So they've built this up. I think it's much more now about what makes sense for roster construction and where you need help, mm-hmm. right? So you have a lot of outfielders, as Bernie pointed out, you know, at the major league level, but also coming up, you know, at the upper levels of the minor leagues. If you're going to clear a path for someone to get to show what they're capable of, and then also maybe fill a weakness in the bullpen or in the infield where you may not have something, that to me is more about what they're doing. It's more specific now, where in the past it was more, we just need to bring in a lot of talent and especially arms. Well, they've done a really good job on that. And now the next thing is being a little more detailed and specific in what you're targeting.
Gotcha.
Yeah.